Good morning, Red Chapel. Good morning, everybody. Is everybody awake this morning? Danny tried to wake you up. I hope he riled you up. Any Star Wars fans happy this weekend? No? Me either. I didn't go watch it either. My family went to watch it without me, actually. That was quite okay. I was happy taking a nap while they went and watched a movie. But what I did go see recently was the movie Coco. Anybody see Coco? Oh, come on. You had to have seen Coco. It's an amazing movie. In case you haven't seen it, and it's important I tell you, it actually has something to do with my sermon. It's amazing where you can get a sermon from. You go watch a movie, you can get a sermon out of it. But the movie Coco is about this little boy. His name is Miguel. And he finds himself in the land of the dead. And he's looking for his great-great-grandfather. And he happens upon this skeleton. Anybody seen the movie? You remember? You're going to find out about it right now. I'm going to save you $15 right now. And a box of popcorn and soda and $100 later for your whole family. You can just share with them the synopsis I'm going to give you. He finds a skeleton named Hector. And through this series of events, Miguel discovers that Hector is actually his great-great-grandfather. But the problem is Hector's in trouble because in the land of the dead, if people forget who you are, you cease to exist. And so Hector relays to Miguel that he's got to go back to the land of the living and he's got to revive his memory or he will no longer exist in the land of the dead. I know it sounds a little spooky, huh? This is a kid movie. And so there's only one person alive that remembers Hector, and that's this woman by the name of Coco, who is Hector's daughter, who is Miguel's great-grandmother. And so Miguel wakes his way back into the land of the living. He goes to his great-grandmother, Coco, and she is literally in her last moments of life. And throughout the movie, you can see as Hector, like, flickering lights as the memories are fading from Coco about Hector. And so Miguel comes back, and he finds his grandmother, Coco, and he has to revive Hector's memory. And so he grabs his guitar, and he begins to play this song for her that Hector used to play for her when she was a child. And the words to the song say, "Remember me, though I have to travel far. Remember me each time you hear a sad guitar. Know that I am with you, the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember me." And as he's playing this, the memories become more vivid to Coco of who Hector was. And wouldn't you know it, Miguel was able to keep the legacy of generations past alive because he was able to keep the memory of his ancestors alive. He called for Coco to remember her father, and in turn, he called for himself to remember those who came before him as well. So there you go. I just saved you $75 at the AMC Theater. Merry Christmas. That's my Christmas gift to you this morning. Actually, the reason I'm sharing that with you is because we're in this series called Fit for a King, and we have been looking at the three different gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus just after he was born. And found in Matthew chapter 2, this has kind of been our theme verse for the last couple weeks, is that, "And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them. It stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary." Here it is. "They bowed down and they worshiped him. They opened their treasure chest and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Last week we talked a little bit about how the wise men worshiped Jesus as God when they brought him this sweet-smelling sense, this gift of frankincense. And the first week we talked about how the wise men worshiped Jesus as king when they brought him the gift of gold. You know what they say, cash is king. And so when you worship Jesus with your resources, you worship him as king. That's what the wise, these gifts were symbolic of types of worship that we can give to Jesus. And then this week we're going to look at this last gift here that the wise men worshiped Jesus with, and as that is, they brought Jesus the gift of myrrh. Now, You thought frankincense was a gift that maybe you weren't familiar with. Myrrh is even a more abstract fact. It's kind of an odd gift for the wise men to give a baby. Because myrrh was actually something that was reserved for people that were dead. It makes you wonder if actually the wise men knew a little bit more about Jesus than they led on. Like maybe they knew that Jesus was born to die. But regardless of whether or not they knew that, I want to point out that the wise men bring this gift of myrrh. And by bringing him this gift of myrrh, they were essentially worshiping him with the gift of preservation. Because myrrh was this embalming oil that they would use during the burial process to help preserve someone after they died. So I want you to think about this. If gold represented that the wise men worshiped Jesus as king, if frankincense represented that they were worshiping Jesus as God, or to them it was as a God, but to us we know they were worshiping him as God, then I think what we could say about the gift of myrrh was this was representation that they were worshiping him as man. We know that Jesus was fully God, he was fully man. And I think that makes sense because I think the greatest gift that you could give to a man, especially one that has passed, is to preserve them so that they continue to live after they die. And this is the gift that the wise men are worshiping Jesus with, is that they are giving him the gift of preserving or continuing the legacy, that he would be preserved long after death. And so each week we've been comparing the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus to gifts that we can and should bring to him today. And in a much less literal way, but in just as important a way, we can bring a gift to Jesus that preserves his legacy. Very similar to Miguel in the movie Coco, we are tasked with keeping the memory of Jesus alive. We must refuse to let his birth, his death, his resurrection, and the internal impact from that to be lost because we've chosen to forget his story. And so the last gift that we're going to talk about in this series is this. It's the gift of keeping Jesus' legacy alive. The gift, this will be my theme for this morning, the gift of sharing his story, for us to share his story. And sharing the story of Jesus can look like a lot of different things, but today I want to focus on three very specific ways that we can share his story in the effort of gifting him with the gift of legacy. And the first is we must learn to remember. We must learn to remember. In fact, the first point, the first way that I feel like we can worship Jesus with the gift of myrrh, the gift of legacy, is for us to remind ourselves. I want you to go back with me for a few thousand years in the kind of the culture of the Old Testament, which was primarily an oral culture. And what I mean by that is that people didn't necessarily write stuff down like we do today. History was passed on throughout the verbal telling of stories, not necessarily the written word. And so as such, it was incredibly important for a culture to continue to rehearse and to retell the important stories so that they would not die out or disappear. And because of the reality of this culture, the children of Israel, God's people, his called out people, they received some very specific instructions on how they should remember God himself. In fact, one of the very familiar passages and texts of the Old Testament is Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is God speaking. He says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands that I'm giving you today." And here it is. He's going to instruct them on how to remember him. "You're to repeat them again and again to your children. You're to talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In other words, God wanted his children to remember him. He wanted them to reflect on his works. He wanted them to reminisce on his faithfulness. He wanted them to recall who he was and what he meant to them and to their children. And so he instructed them to remember, to remember, to remember, to remind yourself. In fact, God went as far as he built entire structures within their calendars, their calendar year, to include seasons, to include festivals God's people would have throughout the year. In fact, this is still celebrated today. Throughout the year, they have these special festivals that are all in order to remember God, to remember his faithfulness. Like you have the festival of the Passover. And this was for the children of Israel. They passed this festival down, and God built this into their yearly calendar that every year they would have the festival of Passover, where they remembered when the death angel passed by, and all that had the blood upon the doorpost, the death angel passed by, and their families were spared that night as God was preparing them to lead. And there was other types of festivals that are celebrated throughout the year with God's people, even to this day, all as a point to remember God, that his legacy would continue. Sharing the story of God was a no-brainer for the children of Israel. It was literally built into their way of life. Think about it this way. As humans, right, we build memorials to things that we never want to forget. Last year, at the beginning of the year, I was with my daughter on her eighth grade history trip, and we went to New York City. And for the first time, I got the chance to see the completed memorial, 9/11 memorial to the victims of 9/11. And we spent about a half a day there. We toured the memorial, and outside they have this massive pool, and around it are the names of the thousands of people that lost their lives. And so we build these memorials to remember, so that their legacy will not be forgotten. And then later this year, in the summer of last year, my daughter's dance troupe got invited to Hawaii to perform on December the 7th for Pearl Harbor Day. And so we were there, and she was performing right across from the USS Arizona. And there is a memorial that's built right over top of the USS Arizona to commemorate the lives of the soldiers that gave their lives that day when we were attacked on American soil. And so we build these memorials to remember, right? And that happened, 70, almost 80 years ago. We wanted their legacy to continue. So we build these things to remember. And it's not only negative things, but even positive things. Like I was thinking about Olympic Park in Atlanta, built as a memorial, and things like Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts. We build these things, we erect these memorials because we want to remember. And we want to remember because we want our lives to be affected by our memories. We want to recall the joy and the wonder of a memory, or maybe we want to remind ourselves of the pain and the hurt of a particular memory. We memorialize things so that they are not forgotten. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you this morning to remind yourself of Jesus and his story in your life. Maybe we should remind ourselves of the way that God has provided for us. Maybe you should remind yourself of the way that God has been faithful. You should remind yourselves of the times when he met your needs, when you knew that you didn't even deserve for him to do that. You remind yourself, you remind your children, you remind your family. I did this yesterday with my kids as I was telling them that today was going to be a very special day at Red Chapel, because today is the day that we're bringing our year-end offering. And so we have this tradition at our home that every Saturday morning, my wife and I go and we work out for about an hour, and then we come home and we always make our way to Corky's. And we ruin the last hour that we just practically sacrifice our lives, burning calories, and we destroy it all with this massive meal at Corky's with biscuits and gravy and omelets and French toast and waffles, and it's amazing. It's like heaven on earth, Corky's, if you haven't been there. That's my plug for Corky's this morning. But we did, and we were waiting, it's about a 25-minute wait because everybody goes to Corky's on Saturday morning. So I said, hey, guys, I want you to step over to the side, and we went over and we sat on a little bench, and I said, hey, listen, and tomorrow is a very special day at Red Chapel because tomorrow we're bringing a very special year-end offering. And I said, I'm sharing that with you because I think at this point, we're coming towards the end of the year. I want us to just remember God's faithfulness this year. And so we, for about 20 minutes, just talking, we started talking about all the things that God had done for us this year. And I began to tell my kids that it wasn't just this year. I said, in fact, every single year, I look back and see that God is constantly faithful in our lives. And I told them, I said, Megan, I want you to understand, every single year, I get to the end of the year, our family gets to the end of the year, and we look around, and somehow, God has found a way to give us more than he did before. Every year, our lives are overflowing with the blessings of God. And I wanted them to understand that the reason that where we're at today is not because their dad's a genius, although he may or may not be, but the fact is God has always been faithful to our family. God has always so graciously blessed them. And I'm telling them that because I don't want another generation to arise that forgets the legacy of Jesus' story in the life of Donnie Young's family. And so we remember. And so I want to challenge you to take this time to remind yourself, sit your children down. This is how important it was to God that he gave them specific instructions. He said, you're to talk about it when you walk around. You're to talk about it at night when you go to bed. I want you talking about it all the time. I don't want the memory to fade. I don't want the light to go out on the legacy of God's story. And so one of the ways that we can worship God with this gift of myrrh is by reminding ourselves. The second way, once we've reminded ourselves and built that into our lifestyle, is that we must show others. We remind yourself, number two, show others. Have you ever met someone and you knew exactly who their parents were based off maybe their mannerisms and their looks? You ever met people? And I'll give you an example. Danny Diaz, and we've been doing ministry together now for about 5 or 6 years, and I never had the privilege to meet his parents while they were alive. But over the last 5 or 6 years, I've been around when people walk up to Danny that know him and knew his parents, and they would say, man, you know, there's certain things that they'll point out. That is, you are just like your dad. And then other people will say, man, you are just like your, and I've never met them. But I know who their parents are. I know who Danny's parents are. And I've kind of gotten a picture of who they are by Danny Diaz and by certain mannerisms about him, certain aspects of his life. It's because the way you act reflects where you came from and who you came from. And Jesus had this interesting discussion one time with his disciples. And one of his disciples, a man by the name of Philip, he said, Lord, show us the Father. And we'll be satisfied. Jesus told him, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He said, if you had really known me, you would have known who my Father was. He went on to say, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still do not know who I am? Anyone, watch this, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus knew that if someone had seen him, they had also seen the Father. And as I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago, I thought, in the same way we should live, that if someone has seen you, then they should also have seen Jesus. We're to show others. See, sometimes we need this human representation of an idea in order to truly get it. Sometimes things just don't click until you have an example. Sometimes we need to see something to believe it. And everything, listen to me, everything we do should be that we are showing people the story of Jesus. We're to show, man, we are continuing the legacy of Jesus. Paul said it like this. He said, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. Christ himself wrote it. Watch this, not with ink, but with God's living spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. And then check this out. And we publish it. In other words, God's got a massive story, and he's writing it in our lives. Our story is part of his story. He writes in our lives, and then we publish it for the world to see. And so the way that the world sees God is we show them. We show others. The way his story continues in the world is by us showing others. You probably heard this saying. It's a quote by St. Francis, and it says, "Preach Jesus, and if necessary, use words." Isn't that the truth? Right? And there's this big debate over whether this is a good quote or not, because some people think that it demotes the importance of preaching and teaching. And whether you think it's a good quote or not, the fact is that it's a very valid point to these words, is that we are called to show others Jesus simply by the way that we live our lives. So I want you to think about it. The way that you're living your life every day is a representation of the story of Jesus. Like, we are image bearers of Jesus to the world. The way that people see Jesus, the way they see his story being written in the world, is through our lives. We are publishing the story of Jesus in the world. They say that a picture is worth a thousand words, and we should be living pictures of Jesus, speaking his story by the way that we live. So, number one, the way you can worship Jesus with this gift of myrrh is by reminding yourself. The way we continue the legacy of Jesus, by reminding yourself, reminding your children, reminding your family. And secondly, it's to show others. And then the final way that we can share his story is, this third point, is that we can tell someone. We can tell someone. I remember, I think it's probably like around second grade. I know, Drew, just a couple of years ago, if you remember, if you can remember that far back, some of you to second grade, you'll remember they had this day at school, and it was called show and tell, right? And I was trying to think of an easy way for you to remember a way that you can worship Jesus with the gift of myrrh. Not that I think you're the equivalent of second graders this morning, but I wanted you to remember what I'm sharing with you this morning. So just think of it this way, show and tell. We can show others, right, by the way that we live. And here's what happens. As you start living, as God starts writing his story in your life, and it's being published for the world to see, there comes opportunities when people, and if you're living life in the way that you should live, people are going to notice. And they're going to notice that your life is different, and God's blessings on your life, and they're going to take notice, and they're going to start asking you what's different about you. And this is your opportunity to tell them about God's story that's being written in your life. There's a Christmas song that says, "Go tell it on the mountain." That's what I'm talking about this morning. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. We get the opportunity to express to people the story that God is writing in our life. In fact, we get to tell people the greatest story that's ever been told on earth. That God sent his son, Jesus. This is what Christmas is really all about. That God sent his son, Jesus, into the world that we might receive eternal life. The greatest story that's ever been told to mankind. We have the opportunity to tell people God's story. You have the opportunity to tell people God's story. In fact, this week, you have the opportunity to tell someone. On your seat this morning, I want you to grab, look over next to your seat next to you, and you're going to see one of these flyers that looks like this. Christy mentioned this earlier. And we have this great opportunity for you to tell somebody this week, because this week is Christmas, the greatest story in all of history that we're celebrating this coming weekend. And that is the story of Jesus. We get a chance to continue his legacy, to make sure that the light don't go out on the story of Jesus. And so we get to tell someone. So I want you to grab that flyer really fast. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Here's what we're going to do. On the back, it says you're invited, and there's a little line there. And I want you to think about who you want to invite this week to celebrate the Christmas story at Red Chapel. We have two services this coming Sunday. And they're going to be our candlelight services, our regular service times at 9:30 and 11. It's our responsibility to continue the story of Jesus. And we do this by telling people, by inviting them to come and experience the story of Jesus. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to write the name right now. We'll just do this right now. In case you forget later, and we can't forget, there's too much at stake with this story. We've got to tell people about it. So I want you to write the name of the person that you want to hand this flyer to. And you're going to tell them you're invited, next Sunday morning to experience the story of Jesus with our Christmas Eve candlelight services at 9:30 or 11. They even have two options. Isn't that amazing? In case they want to be, in the case they're early people, they can come early. Or if they want to sleep in on Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve. Or no, next Sunday is Christmas Eve, I'm sorry. Then they can come at 11 o'clock. Write the name down. In fact, here's what I want you to do. Here's how serious I am about it. I want to make sure the story of Jesus continues. Okay? We cannot afford for the story to fade into history. This story must stay alive. The story of God must go on. The legacy of Jesus. We've got to preserve the story of Jesus. I want you, now here's what I do. Raise that up really fast. Just raise that up. Raise up the fire that you have in your hand. We're going to pray for these people right now. Okay? We're going to pray. Listen, listen. The story of God needs to be written in their life. Okay? Do you know that God has a script, a story for every single person in this world? I know some people, they got off track, but we're going to pray it now. Raise up that person right now. We're going to pray them. God, we just, right now, Father, we pray over the names of these people. I believe, God, with everything inside of me, the names of these people, and some of them, they may be far from you. And they may not have allowed you right at this current moment to be writing the story. But I am believing through this invite card that next Sunday they'll have the opportunity to come and experience your story being written in their life. In fact, the script is going to change next Sunday morning for these people as you take over and you become the author of the story of their life. And so God, give us an opportunity this week to hand this invite card to somebody that they would come this next Sunday morning as we celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We get the opportunity to tell someone about the story of Jesus. I took my daughter for Christmas last year. My daughter asked for one thing. And she said, Dad, I want tickets to the Broadway show, Hamilton. So I thought, oh, that's easy, until I went to StubHub and found out why that was the only thing that she requested for Christmas. But being a good dad for Christmas, I surprised her, and on Christmas morning, she opened up tickets to the play, Hamilton. And so a few weeks ago, this was last year's Christmas present, but it finally came to the Pantages Theater here in LA. And so we had bought tickets for November of 2017. So a few weeks ago, we got the chance to go and take in the Broadway Hamilton. And let me just tell you, it was amazing. By far one of the best Broadway shows I've ever seen. I could see now why she was so intent on wanting this for Christmas. But the last song of the entire musical, after it unfolds the story of Alexander Hamilton, the last song goes like this: who lives, who dies, who tells your story? Jesus lived, Jesus died. It's our responsibility to tell his story, to tell his story, to tell people about the greatest story in all of history. That Jesus came, that he was born, he was placed in a manger. And I know all these Christmas songs we're celebrating. And if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in this season that we'll forget what it's all about. And it's about the fact that Jesus came to save the world. The greatest story that's ever been told. It's our responsibility to tell the story, to tell his story. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Here's what I believe. I firmly believe this with everything inside of me this morning. Is that God has a specific script to the story of your life. In fact, before we were ever even created, before you were ever thought of, before you were even in your mother's womb, God had already made plans for your life. He had it all planned out. You may not realize he had scripted the perfect story, happy ending and all, and all the details of the story. God, in his infinite wisdom, had scripted. Jeremiah 29 says, sheds a little light. It says he has plans for us, plans to prosper.